This past Sunday, I was doing some chores around the house, which is hazardous to one's health, I've come to the conclusion. And as I stooped over to sweep up some dirt, all of a sudden I had a sharp pain in my lower back. You know, the pain was so sharp that it dropped me to my knees, and Manuel actually had to help me crawl to the couch. And as I lay there sucking in air, trying not to cry, because I'm a man and men don't cry, I realized that I'm getting older. You know, in the following days, I was able to walk slowly. It still hurts. But it really got me thinking about how our aches and pains are actually very useful. You know, as you get older, things start to break more and more, and it hurts. It's painful. But this gives us an opportunity to learn how others feel and what they may be going through. You know, we are not alone when we go through trials and tests. We can use these trials to have better sympathy and empathy for each other. Now, we are not created to live forever, at least not in this physical state. But this is how God has made us. You know, when you think way back when, time of Noah, that time, people lived for hundreds of years. Not just a couple hundred, 300, 400. Some of them lived up to 900 years. It's a long time to go through pains and aches. No fun. Yeah, but they persevered through whatever trials that they were going through. They became the patriarchs of the Bible. You know, they are the people that we read about and from whom we can draw inspiration. Now, people have been going through these different types of trials for thousands of years. Think of that, thousands of years. But as we draw to a close to this end of this age, we can only expect one thing, and that is for our trials to increase. Revelation 12:12 states that Satan knows his time is short, and that he's going to do everything he can to give us more trials. You know, for 6,000 years he has had his way, but his time is coming to a close. So the question is, do we have the strength and fortitude of character to go through trials that may be ahead of us? Maybe trials that we are going through now. Now, James tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience, and that patience leads to perfect works, which in turn leads to the lacking of nothing. And that can be found in James 1 verses 2 and 3. So do we take the opportunity to see trials as blessings? Are we thankful for them? Do we count them as joy? If you turn to 1 Peter 1, we'll start in verse 3, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now you have, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do we notice that? Trials produce genuineness. They bring out the inner person. The person who has been broken down by various trials and has found that by relying on only God, that then there is truly praise, honor, and glory. We will turn to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verses 12 and 13. Peter continues, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So fiery trials are to be expected. We should be ready for them when they come. Now, just as we can expect trials, there is another side. Chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 10, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strength, and settle you." So God is there for us in times of trials. He wants good things for us, and he wants us to feel well. But we have to go through these trials so that we can learn to become perfect, so that we can become established and settled. Now, there is one final point that I want to cover. And that is that when you go through trials, when we go through trials, we don't go through them alone. Now, the trials we go through personally should, in fact, help to bring us all closer together collectively. You know, as a church, we are told to suffer together and to rejoice together. We are to be one body. If you turn to 1 Peter 3, in verse 8, 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." And we can only do this if we have gone through similar trials and have been trained by them. So at the end of the day, we have to decide if we are going to stay the course. Will we let trials defeat us, or will we defeat trials?